through Romans chapter 13. This is the third session of four, and we're looking at Romans 13, verses 8 through 10. And this one is called Love and Law. Love and Law. So let's look at those verses, starting with verse 8. Owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Interesting. Think about that. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. We think obedience is the fulfilling of the law. So let's talk about that. I'd like to talk to you for a few minutes about a topic with which you are already aware. Namely, Scripture says to love your neighbor, right? Our problems are two. First, who is my neighbor? And second, how do I do it? Most of the commentaries I reviewed tell us that this epistle is written to the church at Rome. Duh, we can tell that by its title. Therefore, my neighbor is a fellow member of my church. Obeying this shouldn't be that difficult in the church, right? Unfortunately, it can be very difficult. There are many conflicts between believers in a church. Many of us haven't learned or are still learning how to show patience, tolerance, and grace to our friends in the church. The book of James gives us a detailed insight into the problems of relationships and how they are to be resolved in the church. I recommend you read it and study it. It will greatly enhance your understanding of how your friends at church react to each other and to you. Now, many other commentators see this, quote, love your neighbor, unquote, as an admonition to show benevolence, kindness, love, if you will, to everyone. Why? Because Jesus did. This is my view. If we truly love our neighbor, we will only do what is in his best interest, says John MacArthur. Showing this kind of love to our non-believing contacts throughout the day is not what they are expecting. They will be surprised. They may doubt your intent. They may question your motives. They may think, why is he doing this? Does he want something? Is he trying to manipulate me? This kind of reaction is more likely if you have recently become aware that the Bible teaches us to love your neighbor as yourself. They will note a change in you. They will wonder what has happened to you. You may sense this, or they may ask you about your change. Here is your chance. Give glory to God. Tell them, I am a believer now. Jesus Christ loves me, and so I must show his love to you. Give God the glory, and this person you encounter will be more likely to carry on the conversation with you, or even agree to meet you for a cup of coffee, hoping to better understand your faith. Meet with him and tell him why you are different. God will bless. Many of us have heard the teaching that the purpose of the law given in Exodus 20 is to define sin. And that's true. The Ten Commandments given by God himself to Moses, written with his own hand, are God's will for mankind. God knows, and you know, that they are impossible to fulfill perfectly. Perfect obedience is unattainable by fallen man. So we need a Savior to provide a remedy for our hopeless state. But there is hope. He died for you to pay the penalty you owe. For believers, he gives you, or imputes to you, the Bible says, his righteousness. The presence of the Holy Spirit indwelling you confirms this. But now in verse 10, we are told that love fulfills the law. How can we understand this? In verse 10, whose love are we talking about, yours or his? The context of these verses would indicate that the author Paul is indicating your love. So when we love our neighbor, either in the church or in the world, we do him no wrong. If we do no wrong, we commit no sin. The law is fulfilled if we do no sin. We require no forgiveness, but since we are imperfect and cannot be perfectly good of ourselves, even with the best motives, we do fall short. We have to be careful here. If I can fulfill the law out of my own loving efforts, I am very close to a works-based salvation, depending on my own merit or goodness. But we know that Paul elsewhere denies that. Our salvation is by faith, by grace, his unmerited favor. We are saved when we exercise faith. This is not of ourselves that anyone, including me, should boast. These two views can be reconciled when we see his love, his merit, his righteousness expressed in you when you live the life of Christ between your brothers and sisters in the church and with your neighbors. So, Father, clarify in our minds how best to fulfill the laws that you gave to the children of Israel, the Ten Commandments, and also fulfill the law of love exemplified by the birth, death, resurrection, and ascension of your Son, and how to find that balance, how to realize that as we love others in the way that you intend, we don't violate any law. And we thank you for that, and we just pray that you would help us, give us the strength, the grace, the insight to do that on a consistent and regular basis. I thank you for that in Jesus' name.